Governor Tony Evers announced marijuana legalization would be part of his new annual budget that he's proposing this month. The proposal would have to be approved in the legislature, which looks like a tall order. President Biden is also expected to try to change the federal approach when it comes to marijuana. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think marijuana should be legalized in Wisconsin at the national level? Do you support legal medical use only but not recreational? Do you support both or neither? Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. John Hudak is Deputy Director of the Center for Effective Public Management and a Senior Fellow in Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of the book Marijuana, A Short History. John, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be back.
Well, I want to read a little bit from Governor Evers' statement here. Quote, legalizing and taxing marijuana in Wisconsin, just like we do already with alcohol, ensures a controlled market and safe product are available for both recreational and medicinal users and can open the door for countless opportunities for us to reinvest in our communities and create a more equitable state. End quote there. John, what are your thoughts on now the governor of Wisconsin making the case for legalized recreational and medicinal marijuana?
I think Governor Evers is really reflecting the policy views of a majority of Americans. A majority of Americans are done with the drug war. They're done with prohibitionist policies on cannabis, and they're ready to move on to something that's more sensible, that's regulated, that generates safer products, and as the governor mentioned, generates at least some level of tax revenue.
Now, Wisconsin is a bit of an outlier in the Midwest and around the country with not allowing any form of legalization. Can you talk about the trends we've seen at the state level?
Sure. So at the state level, since 1996, we've now seen three dozen states come online with really full-fledged medical cannabis systems. The most recent being just in the past couple of years, just in the past year, actually, in Mississippi. Since 2012, we've now seen 15 states and the District of Columbia come online with full-fledged adult-use cannabis systems. And this reflects real changes that have happened in public policy, both among the mass public, but also changes that have happened in public opinion within legislatures. Legislators now in a lot of states, including the latest Virginia, which passed legislation last week to legalize, are seeing drug policy in a very different way. And even if the Wisconsin legislature isn't there yet, it appears that Governor Evers is.
The legislature, some Republicans in the legislature have talked about medical marijuana as a possibility. Recreational, though, seems unlikely. We talked to Republican State Senator Van Wongard from Racine about police reform bills earlier this month here on Central Time. The topic of marijuana legalization came up. He said he didn't support it, called marijuana a gateway to other bad stuff. Here's some of what he had to say.
We have learned with some of the studies that have been done, and there's some really lengthy studies that have been done, over a 20 or 30 year period, that they found that marijuana, as an example, is not something that helps somebody. It causes psychosis and it causes a lot of schizophrenia, et cetera. And so to add that, so now we have more people out there like that, we make it okay. I sure won't want my grandchildren to be indulging in that with the potential of them having psychotic episodes, et cetera. That makes absolutely no sense. I mean, this was the thought when they brought oxycodone and those things in, and people used that and ate all that stuff like it was candy. That's what's gotten us to the point where we're at now. So creating more of it, making it legal for more, that is not going to help us become a better society, in my view.
Republican State Senator Van Wongard there. He also raised concerns about marijuana being tainted with PCP or fentanyl. This is a significant, prominent Republican lawmaker here in Wisconsin raising his concerns about legalization. John, what do you think?
I think this senator needs to do quite a bit more reading and certainly some more modern reading than he's used to. The reality is this. Cannabis exists in all the communities in Wisconsin already. Legalizing it is not going to introduce the substance to the state. The research that exists out there that the senator is trying to reference does not connect cannabis with psychotic episodes in its users. There's much more complicated science that he's glossing over there. Any comments that you had had in your question about cannabis being a gateway drug has been long, proven to be false. And so I think rhetoric like that is dangerous. It's misinformation and disinformation. And, you know, I hope that Wisconsinites will at least do some of their own research, especially because it appears they can't, rely on their state elected officials to give them the right information.
Talking to John Hudak from the Brookings Institution, author of Marijuana, A Short History, talking about a proposal from the governor to legalize recreational marijuana and medicinal in the state. Coming up, we'll talk about possible changes at the federal level, too. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Madison. Tim, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to bring up, Tim?
Thanks for having me on. Hi. I just wanted to make some quick notes. Here in Wisconsin, in 1908, we began growing hemp for the first time in Madison. And we quickly became the nation's top producer. In 1920, we had four counties that produced more hemp than the rest of the nation combined. Anyway, if we legalized marijuana, we could have a closed-loop economy where we had growers, everything from the growers to the shops, all in within the same community. And I don't know when Republicans were against civil liberties of people the opportunity to make some tax dollars.
Tim, thanks for the call. Now, hemp is legal to grow. There are pilot projects around Wisconsin. That's a non-psychoactive version of the product, I think. But Tim, John, raising the potential economic benefits there.
Yeah, Tim's right. The systems that have popped up in the United States, legal either for medical use and or adult use, they are closed loop systems. We don't tolerate in the United States the transport across state lines of cannabis. We do some with hemp, but in the states that have legalized, these systems are closed loop. So what you grow, what you process, and what you sell all have to happen within the state. And so it does create an economic benefit. And so beyond the tax revenue that comes in, we know that the cannabis industry creates legal jobs. We know that it creates economic activity, and that it also has spillover effects into other industries that then help serve the cannabis industry. And so the economic effects of legalization should not be measured solely in tax revenue, but like Tim said in his question, the economic driver really happens in the private sector.
Before we go back to our callers, thanks for calling in, Tim. I wanted to ask about what's going on at the federal level. I know when President Trump came into office, there were concerns, especially with Attorney General, then Attorney General Sessions, that the federal government would crack down on the states that had legalized some version of medicinal or recreational marijuana. That didn't end up happening. What are people looking at? What are you looking at with the Biden administration now?
Yeah, you're right. When Jeff Sessions came into office, about a year after he came into office, he passed issued a memorandum that essentially reversed an Obama-era policy that was a hands-off approach for federal prosecutors in legal states. What ultimately happened was that federal prosecutors ignored that guidance from Attorney General Sessions and essentially kept up the Obama-era process that was in place. And that, of course, continues today. I think with the Biden administration, there's real hope that some form of cannabis reform happens. It appears that national level legalization is not something that the president supports, but there's a lot of distance between prohibition and full-scale legalization. There's a lot of policy changes that can happen with regards to banking, law enforcement, criminal justice reform, et cetera. And I think we're in a moment right now where, rightly, the conversation about cannabis reform is getting entwined with the conversation around race and social justice and criminal justice, because they are intimately related. And as that moves forward, I think a lot of Americans are seeing the issue of drug policy as one that's inherently steeped in issues of race and justice. And I think the administration sees that too. And so My guess is that the administration doesn't fully know what its position is going to be with regard to cannabis reform, but it's likely going to look very different than all of President Biden's predecessors.
We're talking to John Hudak from the Brookings Institution, author of the book Marijuana, A Short History, looking at the possibility of recreational and medicinal marijuana legalization here in the state after a proposal from Governor Evers and things that could change at the federal level at 2. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you think about legalization. What questions do you have? What concerns or what hopes do you have? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with John Hudak, Deputy Director of the Center for Effective Public Management and Senior Fellow in Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution, looking at the future of medicinal and recreational marijuana here in Wisconsin and at the national level. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the issue. We'll go back to your calls now. Jeremy is with us in Racine. Jeremy, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am in favor of full legalization for both recreational and medicinal purposes. Reason being, people are already consuming cannabis on a daily basis, and the means in which they go about getting that cannabis is on the streets. You never know what they're getting, and you never understand. It could be laced, it could be tainted with other things. You never know. And there's a crime element involved with street value cannabis, and it needs to be brought out of the darkness and into the light. People are self-medicating themselves with cannabis, and they may be buying cannabis that has nothing to do that could possibly help them with their medical problems, but they're at the whims of whatever is available on the streets. By bringing it, legalizing it, you are offering them a more variety of cannabis for medicinal purposes as well, and it's very important that they do that. It'll free up law enforcement running around chasing after people with marijuana and allow them to use those resources to things that are a little bit more important than what I believe is narcotics, heroin, things like that.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for the call. John, Jeremy's saying safer and will allow us to pursue better public safety priorities.
Yeah, Jeremy is making the type of arguments that tend to connect with a lot of voters in a lot of states, and I assume Wisconsin will be one of them. The tax revenue argument gets put out there a lot, especially by elected officials, but the reality is the tax revenue ends up not being a huge amount. Governor Evers projected about $165 million a year. That's probably about right from what I've seen in other states, but that's a drop in the bucket for Wisconsin's budget. But the reality is the idea of having a safe, regulated product coming from a trusted source, the products being tested, the composition of those products being known to the consumer is just something you don't get on the black market. And like Jeremy said, people are self-medicating or they're using products recreationally that they just don't really know what's in them. That doesn't happen in a regulated market. You mentioned earlier, you had comments earlier from a state senator who was talking about the adulteration of cannabis, having fentanyl and other products in there. Now, those stories tend to get blown up and largely come out of nowhere or come from very, very rare cases. But where they don't come from is a legal regulated market. You don't have a professional licensed cannabis grower in the state of Nevada or the state of Colorado sprinkling fentanyl into their vape pens or into their flower. It just doesn't happen. Those activities can happen on the black market. And like Jeremy said, there's crime associated with the black market. Some people sell cannabis and they sell a lot of other things other than cannabis. And so trying to intrude on that market and trying to displace that black market into a legal market is something that I think a lot of Americans are looking for as a policy path forward.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard from Joel on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Joel says he's a retired anesthesiologist. He writes, I'm not sure why legalizing another mind-altering drug, which allows people to escape or avoid reality, is a good idea. Joel goes on, I know that heavy users undergo significant changes in their tolerance to medications, especially anesthetic drugs such as propofol. So the claims that THC is harmless or totally benign are demonstrably false. Joel also raises concerns about driving under the influence. We have enough problems with alcohol. So not completely harm-free, Joel says, John.
No, I mean, Joel's 100% right. Anyone who tells you that cannabis is harm-free is lying to you. Anyone who tells you that cannabis cannot lead to what we'd call cannabis use disorder or an addiction is lying to you. That happens. And a market needs to be responsible, and people need to make better decisions. And people making those better decisions can happen through consumer education. It can happen through conversations at the point of sale. And I think if you are going to legalize cannabis and not take the steps to try to minimize those public health and public safety issues, driving under the influence, as Joel said, is another one, you're doing it wrong. But the states that have moved forward with legalization, we haven't seen long-term spikes in driving under the influence or driving-related fatalities. We have in a couple of states seen them very early on, and then that number dropped back to more normal ranges or back to the pre-legalization number. But yeah, we need to be able to address those public health issues. And one of the best ways that we address public health issues is by diverting tax revenue to those sources, to the types of programs that can deal with that. Right now, in a state like Wisconsin, you're not extracting any tax revenue out of the sale and distribution of cannabis because it's illegal. By legalizing it, you can get your hands on more of that revenue and direct them to the places where you are concerned that these issues might pop up. Driving under the influence of cannabis, cannabis use disorder are already problems in the state of Wisconsin that the state government cannot use cannabis resources to direct to. Under a legalization program, they can.
Talking to John Hudak from the Brookings Institution about marijuana legalization. Back to your calls now. Ethan is with us in Janesville. Ethan, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I think a previous caller kind of touched on it with the state representative claiming that fentanyl and PCP are going to be somehow a more of a risk under a regulated system. Thanks for talking about that. Not terribly harmful, but still a little harmful. I appreciate the conversation you're having. I'll let you go. Thanks.
All right, Ethan, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that. We'll go to Kylie now in Sparta. Kylie, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Kylie?
So there's actually two things I'd like to bring up. My issues, I am not for this. And two reasons why. First being that they're trying to legalize something because a lot of people are already doing it illegally. And I don't feel like we should cater to people who break the law already. You know, the law's in place, and just because more people are doing it and are breaking the law doesn't mean we should change the law necessarily, okay? And then my other problem with that is somewhat tied with that is that I see it as a gateway drug in that it's the mindset of those people who will break the law as the law is right now, and that leads to them breaking laws in other ways. Because the law is not what they follow.
Kylie, thanks for the call. John?
So I'll start with the second point about it being a gateway drug to bad behaviors. There are certainly cannabis users in this country who also engage in other, activities that are against the law in the same way that alcohol users do, in the same way that people who drive Buicks do. There's a lot of people who engage in a lot of activities that they shouldn't. There's also a lot of cannabis users who don't. The idea that because you are unwilling to follow the state's cannabis laws means that you have no respect for the rule of law at all is a very, very difficult point to try to demonstrate. And really, the data just do not bear that out. On Kylie's first point about legalize something simply because people are already doing it, I generally agree with that. I think that because something is popular does not mean that it's a good public policy idea. Because people are already doing it does not mean it's a good public policy idea. But part of that conversation, too, around cannabis reform also has to look at the root of cannabis laws and the ways in which cannabis laws are enforced. And what we know is that the root of cannabis laws have been steeped in really awful racist policies in the United States, and that the enforcement of our cannabis laws also has very challenging racial issues with them. So, for example, in the United States, we know that white Americans and non-white Americans use cannabis at about the same rate. But Black Americans are almost four times as likely to be arrested for a cannabis crime than a white American is. And so we know there's racial discrimination in the ways that these laws are enforced. And I think in a perfect world, we would have our laws enforced with some equity, but we don't. And so what these laws end up doing, even though, you know, a lot of people are already using cannabis in states around the country, Wisconsin included, is that these laws are a secondary means to discriminate against groups of individuals. And I think we really need to look at the enforcement of our laws and not just the laws themselves when we think about weighing the costs and benefits of them being on the books. And when we get to that point, I think it does begin to get into an area where we start to question whether cannabis prohibition is actually worth it and what kinds of effects it's having on communities across Wisconsin.
Thanks for that call. And John, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was John Hudak from the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Marijuana, A Short History. He joined us for a look at the future of marijuana legalization at the state and federal levels.